Hi, I'm Mark Vincent, and you're listening to 5 Minutes on Psalm 33. This is a psalm that celebrates the Word of God and how that Word is made manifest in the things that God has made in creation. And it also celebrates the watchful care of God over the world that He's made. Let's start there with a quick look at the beginning and the end of the psalm, because these are linked, as is often the case. The psalm opens with six verbs, commanding verbs, telling us to rejoice and praise God. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord, sing to him, play skillfully. So all those different verbs there, commanding verbs and three different instruments that are mentioned, talking about our relationship to God. When we get towards the end of the psalm, it's a bit more reciprocal. It's about what we can do in relation to him. We will wait, we will rejoice, we will trust, we will hope. But it's also about what he will do for us. He will deliver, keep, help, protect, and be merciful to us. That brings us to the main middle part of the psalm. And that's in two sections. The first, from verse 4 to verse 11, talks about the word and works of God. And the second, verses 12 through 19, talks about the watchful care, the looking of God over the world that he's made. So let's come in at verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. And you can see the parallelism there between the word of the Lord and his works, which are done in truth. And there's this close connection then between God's word, which almost as soon as he's spoken it, becomes reality. God's word is reality in a way in which our words aren't. We might say something, have the intention of it being so, and we might be wrong, or some circumstances might arise that means we can't fulfill what we said, or we might have no intention of keeping our word. But with God, it's quite different to that. So God's word is something with moral goodness to it, and it's also something that has creative power to it. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, verse 6, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth, verse 9, for he spake and it was done, he commanded and it stood fast. So God's word becomes or is reality. And of course that links back to Genesis, where God created the world by saying things, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So we've got the moral goodness of God's word, his creative goodness, the fact that his word is steadfast and sure. All that is celebrated then in this part of the psalm. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. And then we get into the second major part of the psalm that talks about God's looking, his watchful care. So the Lord chooses people for his inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven, verse 13. He beholds all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He considereth all their works. Behold, verse 18, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. So his eye is upon everyone, upon the whole world that he's made. He's watching, he's monitoring, and he's caring. Where he sees there's a need, he stoops and he cares. So we can't look out for ourselves, but that's okay, because God is looking out for us. Verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. So God's eye is a focused eye upon those who fear him. And it's a purposeful eye, as verse 19 tells us. God is looking so that he might help to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine.